Micah's mother in the chapter here. And just it's kind of a warning about and an exhortation about the importance of motherhood, about the importance of being a mother that honors God. Okay? And I think that once, oh, by the way, when I'm gone, Andrew will be preaching Sunday mornings, I think. Brother Paul is going to preach one Sunday afternoon. And then Brother Lee's going to preach on Wednesdays. I think he's going to take the two Wednesdays. So you'll have the two Sunday mornings. And then I think the second Sunday, whichever Paul wants to preach, whichever afternoon you want to preach, Brother Paul, the next one, I think you guys should have a prayer meeting and a hymn service that. Because I don't know, you know, I'm not going to be getting back till the end of the month. So should probably it'll be time to have a prayer meeting probably. So you guys can do that. But Brother Paul, I don't know what he's preaching about. So we'll see. But Paul, something tells me, knowing you, that there's nothing non-controversial with you. There really isn't a lot of non-controversial topics. I will look forward to hearing that. I'll be listening live as I travel through wherever I am. The second one will be on the way back. What's that? Parts unknown. Yeah, but I have Verizon Unlimited, so I'm going to be all right. I've already told everybody where I'm going. It's fine. I'm not worried about it.
Is there anybody that listens during the week where you can visit on the way out there?
Yes. Who wanted to visit? Yeah, Carrie Acker, a man out in, he's out in Virginia. He wants to meet up. And there might be some others that we meet up with on the way out there. I haven't really talked about it on a live broadcast that much, but I will sometime. And maybe I think him and we'll meet up probably. And then there's probably a few others on the way out there. Yeah, there's a lot of people on the way out there that listen to us from that direction. So we might be able to say hi to them while we're in that area. So you pray for us. That'll be June 6th, I think, or June 7th, I'm leaving. That'll be a Monday we're leaving. And then pray about that. We're putting the house up. You want to cut it off again? It'll be one. Yeah, it will. Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. But although I could close it DocuSign too.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I do everything with now. Like, I've never even met anybody who signed. It's all DocuSign. Yeah. I do too. It's nice. Robo signatures are awesome. Hey, if the president can do that and give us a bunch of money, then I can do it for a house. Right? What, robo sign? Yeah, they robo sign bills all the time. They don't. That's an all legal document. They do that too with all legal documents. They're all like robo sign. I mean, when you go to attorney or whatever, they do that. Andrew's like, "Are you ever going to get started?" Look at him. He's wondering. He's like, "Is he ever going to start?" He's just like rambling. What's wrong with him? Nothing. It's just normal. Well, that's okay. The people online that listen, they already know what I'm like, so it's okay. And I don't really have any secrets that I'm worried about hiding from anybody or anything like that. Everybody knows how strange I am already, so. Judges chapter 17. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it." And his mother said, Blessed be thou the Lord, my son. You good boy, you. Thanks for stealing my bucks." And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee." Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look at this today, just some thoughts on this, and guide our steps, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I think it's interesting that Micah's mother, here was a very bad woman. She really taught her children horribly. She mixed a hybrid worship, right? She mixed a hybrid worship and confused her children. If you ever want to confuse your children, then say one thing and do another. You will confuse them, right? You will utterly confuse them. Or teach a mixture and a hybrid of truth and error to them in that sense, of worldly philosophies and principles mixed with godly ones, and you'll confuse them. You know, one of the things that I believe will help our children in the years to come is mothers especially being consistent with what they say and what they do. Now, that goes for fathers, too, but we're focusing on mothers here. But let's just say that saying what they mean and meaning what they say and following through with consistent actions. Sometimes mothers' heartstrings can be pulled. So can dads. By the way, I have five daughters, so I know how that works. But it can happen. But they can pull your heartstrings, and you can give in to things, and you can do things that you ought not do. And you send a message of inconsistency to them. That's what Micah's mom did. She sent him a mixture of messages. If you look at what she said to him, right? The silver was a god to Micah's mother. She cared about that silver. She turned it into a god. She was very money driven. Some of you have grown up with mothers that were like that, right? They would sell out their families, their marriages, their children for money. Money was a big deal. Money became their god. There's nothing worse than a covetous mother or father. They will teach their children to be covetous, greedy, right? Just greedy. There's people have told me stories that their fathers basically didn't want anybody to help them with their property, and they end up giving it all to the government, right? They just gave it all away. The government took it all. The nursing home took it all. Everybody got it all. The family never got anything. All greed. Covetousness. It's wicked. But this is what Micah's mom did. We shouldn't be surprised at her being a miser, that she turned her son into one as well. Children follow their parents, their flaws. They'll follow the good things about you, but they'll also follow your flaws. Right. If you're not careful to repent of those and ever bring them before them when you do commit sin, when you do those things, that you bring them before your children and you say, you know what, Dad messed up. I had to do that this morning. Man, I was in a cranky mood today, this morning. You can't believe that, can you? Nice fellow like me. Yeah. I was kind of being cranky.
You even made the guy in front of you so mad he would climb down.
You got out of your car, out of your truck after me. But you know something? I was a little feisty this morning. Man, I was riding in the car here to church and the van, and I left here and ran back to Faribault, and I'm out of my element right now. Things aren't normal for me, and that bothers me. That really bothers me. I'm a creature of habit. When I'm not doing what I'm accustomed to, I get kind of growly. I get kind of feisty a little bit. I was. And thank God for my wife. She's very patient. So I get in the van and I'm rolling down the road and I had to tell the children, I had to stop. I said, you know what? We're all going through a lot of things right now. There's a lot of change happening. And when that change and that stuff comes, it affects our family. And we need to remember that. And I'm going to try to be sensitive to that for you, I said. I'm going to try to remember that this is just as hard for you as it is for me. You know, that everything is changing. We had a good talk, and then I prayed and asked God to forgive me and asked God to help us to work together as a family and to be strong, and that God would keep us, in the way that we should go. And that helped a lot. It really did. But you know what? Sometimes we have to do that. Otherwise, our children will think it's okay to be that way. I don't want to ever, my children ever think, well, it's okay for me to be a grouch or me to be unkind to you. That's okay. You just have to hit it. And it's not okay for you to do it to your sister, but it's okay for me to do it to you. Because you know what I'm teaching them is that, well, you just have to be old enough and be an authority. Then you can treat anybody any way you want. I don't want to teach that. God forbid that we should teach that to our children. Amen. So we got to repent of those things. We got to get those things right and say, nope, that's the wrong attitude. I shouldn't have that. Got to do that. Got to humble yourself and do that. Don't ever leave sin in front of your children like that and leave those actions and make them think that that's okay. That, well, that's just normal. Well, it's normal fleshly, but it isn't biblical. And we're called to be biblical. We're called to walk after Christ and to follow Christ. So don't ever make excuses for your sin. Repent of it. Amen. Otherwise, your children will carry it to the 10th power. They will. They'll mimic it. And where'd you get that from? Well, I know where you got it from. Not from your mother. No. Oh, wait. We're talking about mom. So John's looking at me like, did he just say that? No. We know where they got it from, don't we? Was it? Lee always says that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It doesn't. You know, before Micah turned the silver into a god, his mother worshipped it. His mother was already, before he turned it into a god, his mother was already worshipping it. She was already, that was already the most important thing to her, was that silver. And to find out that her son was a thief, well, it's not too far of a stretch, is it? If your mom is covetous like that, that you would be a thief and you would see that the importance of that, right? The importance of that money to her. A carnal heart cannot forego that which it delights in without impatience. And it cannot be impatient without curses. Because what happened? And when he had restored, he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. That's not exactly the response I'd have to my son if he stole 1,100 shekels from me. I don't even know how much a shekel is, but if he stole it from me, he'd be getting some shackles with those shekels, right? Or some shellacking with those shekels, right? Right? Now, he wouldn't get a blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Thanks for stealing the money, boy. Right? And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver of the Lord from my hand. For my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Wait a minute. You're going to take that. Yeah, she's going to take that silver. She's going to turn it into a molten image, a graven image, to bow down and worship it. So then, you say, I don't understand that mentality. Well, it's a mixture. What this is the picture of is for you and I to be careful. Moms, there shouldn't be anything in your life that takes your dedication and your devotion away from your husband and your children. If it is, then you need to get rid of it. I'm going to say it again to you. There shouldn't be anything that takes your devotion away. Obviously, we know the Lord is number one. But I'm talking about in your duties, your devotion to your husband and your children. If there's something that is drawing you away from that, then you need to destroy it. And I think one of the major molten images today that's in homes is the internet. I think that phone can be a great distraction from family life. I think it can be a great distraction from your marriage. I think it can be a great distraction from just living life. Because you can stick your head in that phone all the time and not live life. You don't even see the world around you because you're too busy looking at that stupid screen. Amen. I think that's one thing you got to be careful of. That you got to watch and be careful of, that it not distract you. That it not take you so that's all you're paying attention to. Or it distracts you from your family. Or your children are being some kind of an inconvenience to you. You know, if there's something in your life that's got your attention other than the duties that God has for you, you got to put it away. You got to put it away. Because your children are not a distraction. Your children are your ministry. Your husband first, then your children. There is an order there. You teach them to love their husband and their children. That's the order. Ladies, and I want to caution you about as being mothers. Your first love when it comes to your family is your husband. Your first devotion is to your husband. It's not to your children. I don't care what anybody else tells you. I see the order in Titus. I see the order in the scripture. And it is first to your husband. If you make that child an idol, if you make that child more important than your husband, you are in sin. Amen. There's people that they go overboard with their children. There's mothers and fathers that both do it. They invest everything into their children and don't invest anything into their marriage. And then their children are raised and they don't have anything to talk about. And what do? We see them in fundamentals, mom, they get a divorce. This is not lost people. These are people that have been saved and been serving God for years. And all of a sudden their children are raised. They're like, well, we don't have anything in common. We don't even talk to each other. We don't even really like each other. They don't know each other. They spent 30 years together and never had a conversation, really, that wasn't centered around their children. They didn't pray with one another. They didn't weep with one another. They didn't hold hands with each other. They didn't flirt with each other. Right? Right? That's okay. It's okay if you flirt with your wife, you know. Amen? What are you laughing about? Oh, you just pinched her? Oh, okay. All right. What? You don't have to do it here, but right, there's she lost it. She's gone straight red. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, obviously we know there's a certain deportment with it. That goes without saying, right? But the point is that your children should see that. They should see how much you love one another. They should see the affection that you have for each other. They should see that. It's healthy. When they don't see it, it's not healthy. And you'll raise some weird cyborgs.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, that don't have any affection. They're like robots. They don't have the emotion chip that Data needed. Some of you don't get that, and that's good. I'm glad you don't. It's okay. But it's okay if you don't. But they don't have that, so they're not used to seeing that any affection at all whatsoever. I'm not saying you have to be ridiculous about it. I'm saying it should be there. It should be there. But the order should be there. That you are a wife before you're a mother. Amen. That's your duty. Your duty is to your husband, then your children. That's how God instituted it. Right? That's how God set it up. But you know, Micah's mom, she here in this text, she was a pagan. You know? She taught her son a mixed worship. Like I said, you want to confuse children, you teach them that. She was a pagan with hybrid worship. She cursed her son worse than her pronounced curse on him by her paganism, by her false teaching. She cursed her son even worse by what she taught him than what she said. She pronounced a blessing from the Lord upon him when she should have called him to repentance. Her false religion was a curse to him. You know, she was still into that idolatry, that false religion. So Micah learns that antichrist religion from his mother. What a lesson to learn, right? Micah's mother taught him idolatry, taught him to mix Jehovah with false gods, taught him confusion. She was a poor example that affected his entire life. You and I, we only have one shot at parenting our children. We only get one. We don't get two. We get one. That's it. You only have one opportunity to raise those children that are before you. You only have one chance. Like 20 years isn't going to go by. You're like, oh, I think I'll try that again. Nope. You only have one shot. And you ought to give everything that you have as a mother. You ought to give everything that you have. You ought to wear. You know, you look at all the scriptures that deal with with ministry, right? And dealing with ministry and serving the Lord and doing all of those messages, all of those verses apply to you as a mother in the place that God has put you. The ministry that you have. You have a ministry. And your ministry is to work very hard to raise your children for the Lord. That is your ministry. Those are. That is your little congregation. Let me ask you something. Can you tell me, I don't want you to, but this is a rhetorical question? Is that, thank you. That's the right word. I'm not like Paul. I don't have fancy words like that. But here, let me ask you, can you recite something or could you tell me something that you taught your children from the Bible last week? Did you teach them anything? I don't mean just normal schoolwork, and all that is a lot of work to do too. But did you teach them something from God's Word? Did you teach them some principle from God's Word? Did you teach them something that they can take with them that will help them to grow? Is there something that you taught them? Can you remember some principle that you taught them? Maybe it was in correction. Maybe you had to teach them that it's wrong to lie. Maybe, and you had to bring the Bible, you brought the Bible into it and you showed them why it's wrong to be dishonest, why God hates lying. Right? Maybe it's even in your correction, Mom, you ought to bring in the scriptures. You ought to bring in the Bible into that because that is our rule of faith and practice for everything we do. It's the sole authority. It's the one we have. Like we don't have any, all authority stems from that book. Amen. If it's not in this book, I don't have any authority. Right? The family, it's in there. Right? It's like Manwich, it's in there, right? All of it, the family, the home, marriage, the church, the government, what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed. All of that is in there. All authority is from this book. Isn't that something? Even the laws of nature and everything else are governed by this book. They are governed by this book. Right? Man cannot explain death. God does. Sin. Sin brings forth death. Yeah. Sin. We die because of sin. That's why we die. Because there's no other reason for man to die. God has the reason. Sin. Yeah. He told us. Our work is vitally important. Your work as a mother is vitally important. Micah's mother was a poor example. It affected his entire life. Micah's mother made a god out of silver, but then Micah made a house of gods. Look what he did. He took the one thing that she did wrong, and he built a whole house out of it. How many people have been trained wrong by their parents, children, go out and have families and build entire homes that are faulty, that are wrong, that are not based on the scriptures, that have the absolute philosophies of the world in them? What happened? One person taught them wrong. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod, a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So look at this. Let's stop there for a second, because what does this show you? It shows you the sins of the father. That's what it does. It shows us the sins of the father and the mother. Why? Well, that mother taught her son wrong. What did he do? He built an entire... She had one idol from the founder, right? What did he do? He built a whole house of idols. Then what happened? He taught his son to be a priest over the house of those idols. So that one grandmother, that one mother, her wickedness spread through three generations. Just like that, and it impacted them. Three generations. Think about that. It affected his entire seed. By the way, that means that grandmothers, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to live right for God. You have a responsibility to be a good example. You have a responsibility to be obedient to the Lord. You have a responsibility to love your husband. You have a responsibility to do all of that. Why? Because you're going to impact generations by what you do. You and I today, what we do for the Lord, will impact generations to come. You know that child that you're holding in your lap that you love and you're looking down on that you're holding? Do you understand that the Bible illustrates that the impact that you can have on their lives will be eternal? Be eternal. I like what one person said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You know, Satan talked mothers out of selling out their vineyard, selling out their inheritance, going to work out in the world and making money and having a career and doing all those other things, right, to get them out of the home. Why? Well, so they would have an exalted, we want equality. You don't, lady, you don't want equality. You don't want equality. You don't want to be treated like a man. You really don't. You don't want to be treated like a man. You don't want to be treated like that. You really don't. Well, first of all, because you're not one. You're not one. See, but we should be equal. You should? Where does it say that? Does God's word say you're to be equal? No, it doesn't. But see, Satan sold them a fairy tale. It really is. What did we talk about in my study a week ago or something like that? We talked about that. If they reject the truth, they'll be turned unto fables. It's a fable that a woman can be like a man. It's an absolute fable that she can be equal with a man. That is a fable. When you turn away from the scriptures, the holy scriptures, what happens? You turn unto fables. They're turned unto fables. They actually believe. They believe that fable they've been told. They believe it. And what happened? They sold out. So women are no longer wholesale in America or in other places like America. They're no longer there raising children. Where are they? They're paying somebody else to raise them. So they're actually paying somebody to do something. They're actually paying them to do something that God equipped them to do. Right, while they're working for some other man or some other woman slaving for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it. Think about that. But they're willing to sell it out. They're willing to sell out that vineyard that God has given them. And Satan talked them into it. And they fell for it. No, most women actually don't like working with other women. They say they're really mean and really bad to work for. A lot of women say that. They don't like working for other women. A lot of them, I've heard them say that before. They don't like female bosses. I've heard them say that. They really don't like them. I've heard that, actually. More than once, I've heard that. But it makes sense because God never meant it to be that way. And see, you have all these women that have sold out their inheritance. They've sold out. And what do we have? We have children that are being raised that are not emotionally stable children because they don't have a mother with them at home. I'm telling you what, that mother at home with them, there's a stability there that you cannot, there is no way for you to mimic that or to change that or you can't have enough teachers. You can't have small enough class sizes. You can't have any of those things to make up for that mom being there and loving them. You cannot. It doesn't work. You can't. It's impossible. They'll duplicate those errors. Micah doubled down on his sin, on his mother's sin, and made his son a priest of that. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They had wholly left the design of the Lord. They had mixed their worship together. Micah's mother was a very bad influence. They go from one God to a house of gods. The Bible warns us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, Satan knows that to be true. He knows that verse is true. That's why he tries to keep it from happening. He knows if you train up a child in evil, he's more than likely to stick with it his entire life. Right? Mm-hmm. That's right. Micah's mother clearly disobeyed the Lord concerning graven images. How much more that she taught her son A mother's influence is either wicked or godly. Either she teaches truth or hypocrisy. Look to your ways. Examine your ways. And see if there be any hypocrisy or any doublespeak in what you do and what you say to your children and how you teach them. How you instruct them. It's very important. It's very important. Notice that generational curse that was there, though, that his mother bestowed upon him when Micah consecrates his son to the priesthood. Three generations all affected by idolatry. Her grandson is wholly consecrated to idolatry and a false religion. Wholly given over to it. Completely. Do you realize the importance? He's fully immersed into wickedness. His son becomes his priest, all because of Micah's mother. One evil woman can beget so much evil, as one godly woman consecrated to the Lord can change a nation. Micah's mother was an idolater. His mother was selfish. His mother was covetous. His mother cursed that which she should have blessed, and blessed that which she should have cursed. The complete opposite. The complete opposite. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. But that's what she did. This is the danger of a mother. And she's not careful. Not clearly condemning the things that she should condemn. You have to be very careful about that. Also, if you look at it, and there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn there, where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." And Micah said unto him, "Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals." So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, "Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." 10 shekels in a shirt. You've heard that famous sermon by Paris Reedhead, right? Think about that, though. Think about that. How now Micah and his house are going to impact an entire tribe. But how he actually believes that he's right with God and that he's serving God. You know, if you're not here, there's some people that if you teach a hybrid worship mom, if you don't teach straight Bible to your children, if you're not careful to be consistent in your living and the way you treat your husband, the way you lead your home, you guide your home and things like that, you'll confuse your children about the faith. Man, you'll make them hate it. They'll want to walk away from it. Right? What's that, brother? Yes, that's right. It's just, you can turn people off so bad if you're not careful. You can just turn them off. Your children, you can turn them off by the way your attitude is. By the way your disposition is. How you handle things. How consistent you are. Right? It can turn them off. Micah's mother, she had a mouth full of cursings. By the way, children will learn from their mother's mouths. Turn to Proverbs 16. They'll learn. There's things that you heard your mom say that you'll never forget. Or your dad. By the way, your disposition matters in your mouth and what you say. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Ladies, I know things get difficult. You can get stressed. You can feel the weight of things on your shoulders and your heart, and you can react. But I'm telling you, and your husband is a man, and he needs to be careful how he speaks as well. But I'm telling you, the way a woman speaks sticks in the ears of a child their whole life. If you have a brazen, brassy, snappy tone with your husband and with your children, they will pick it up. And they'll duplicate it. They may hear their father speak roughly, and he needs to repent sometimes when he's rough when he shouldn't be. But he's going to be rougher than you. And you're to have that meek and quiet spirit. That meek spirit that is not brassy and hard and loud and stubborn. Because it affects you. It affects your children when they hear you spout off and you talk like that. Even, you know, remember, you may be reviled sometimes, but you're not to revile back. Now, that's all of us. That's an admonition for all of us. But I'm telling you, as a woman, I can't, and I've had some people say, well, I don't know if, I had one little effeminate dude get on there, and I hope he hears it, and I hope he says something in the stupid comment section when he hears this, too. I'm so tired of these wimps. Anyway, I had him get on there, and he said something like, oh, well, I don't think it's more important for a woman to be careful with their speech and this and that, blah, 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 as a man and all this other stuff. I'm like, you know, first of all, shut up. Second, anyway, let's get that out of the way, number one. But here's the point of that. By the way, it's always an effeminate little Ahab that has to come by and say those things, right? Right. But here's the point. Let me say this to you. I'm telling you what. People expect men to be gruffer and straightforward and stronger. And the Bible teaches that a woman is supposed to be of a meek and gentle and quiet spirit. Now, there's a time when, you know, your children are in, you got to handle business. I get it. There comes a time when you have to. Okay. However, the main demeanor of yours is to be meek and quiet. And I've said this to my wife, and I will say it to you. You should never let your children get you into a place of raising your voice like that. You speak softly and carry a big stick. I'm going to say it to you again because I ain't afraid to say it. You speak softly and you carry a big stick. Because when you have to yell, you're not correcting your children right. When you have to yell like that, it's because you're too lazy to discipline them correctly. I'm going to say that to you again and make you real happy. When you yell like that, it's because you're being too lazy to correct them properly. You don't want to stop doing what you're doing. You don't want to get up and take care of it. You don't want to do that, so you just raise your voice. No. Speak once and raise the rod. Hear ye the rod. That's what I told my wife. Hear, not to her, but let me clarify that. I know some people and been around a while, so I better clarify that. Can't imagine it. Hear ye the rod. That's what they're to hear. Not you losing it, like getting out of the meek and quiet spirit and teaching them that you got to rage like that or you got to get angry like that. No, you don't have to. It's because you're not following biblical principle. That's why you're doing it. That's why you're leaving the place. See what I mean? God has it set up for you. God has showed you what you ought to do as a mother and how you ought to handle those things. If you decide to get over emotional with it and lose it and get upset, it's because you're not willing to follow the commands of God. When you get to that point, it's because you're not being obedient in an area. You're not doing what's right. And that's why you're reacting that way. Not because, well, it doesn't work. Oh, it works. It works. You just have to follow the scriptures. And it works. Amen. Well, how do you know that? Well, number one, I believe it by faith. And number two, I've seen it. Does not God know how to get your attention? He surely does. Right? Hang on a second here. Here we go. Four. Check my text here. Hold on. Four. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. What does it say here about her? Their lips, they drop as a honeycomb. Sweetness. A mother should have a sweet disposition about her. She should teach her daughters to have a sweet disposition about them. That's what they should teach. Not brazen and hard. Smooth. Sweet. Right? Ecclesiastes. Verse number 26, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 26. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands is bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. I don't know why I chose that one, but that's a good one. Let you be warned. Whoever that is. Titus chapter 2. I don't know why I chose that text, but somebody needed it. Titus 2, 3 through 5, the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's God's order, isn't it? To love their husbands and love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, they're to have the proper speech. That of a meek and quiet. What did Peter say would reach a man more than anything? Her conversation.
Right. Coupled with fear.
Right? It's the conversation. It's her mode of life. It's the way that she acts. You know, you don't really have to say a whole lot as a wife if your husband is not right. The softer you speak and the more you respond and the kinder you respond, the more it makes him think. Right? Grievous words stir up anger. The soft words turneth away wrath. The aged woman. Right? It's important. Your testimony is important. You know, there's nothing worse than a brazen woman or an old perverted man. Those two things. A man with a foul mouth, an old man with a foul mouth, or a brazen woman. A hardened woman, there's nothing worse than seeing those two things. The way they act and the way they respond to things. Micah's mother, in our text in Judges, she taught her children wrong and it ended up impacting for generations to come. How you teach your children will do the same. You're to be teachers of good things. What good things have you taught your children? What good things do you continue to teach your children? It's a good question, isn't it? How is your spirit and your attitude when things don't go your way? Do you keep a meek and quiet spirit? As a wife, as a mother, do you keep a meek and quiet spirit when things don't go your way? Do you allow your emotions to take over in your correction? By the way, that goes for a father and a mother. But do you allow your emotions to take over in your correction and your instruction of your children? Or are you led by the Word of God? Are you led by what is right? Because all of those things will have an impact on your children. How you teach, you know, we teach keepers at home here. We teach husbands to lead here. But guess what? If our examples to our children are husbands that are not, that don't treat their family with love and respect and treat them right, or mothers that lose it and that are angry, or that react, or that raise their voice, or leave that meek and quiet spirit, that don't handle disagreements well, that get rebellious, that have that type of spirit, it will impact our children. They will think that as they grow up that, well, yeah, but it's okay to be this way. It's okay to be that way. We won't teach them what God wants for them. We have to follow the scriptures, and we have to teach our children by example. They have the word of God, but I'll tell you what, you'll do a lot to make them disbelieve the word of God, and I'll do a lot to make them disbelieve, to fill their hearts with unbelief, if we don't show them that God does that work in us. Right? You know what impacts our children to be saved, to live for God, and to do right, and to know what type of person to marry, is by our example. And sometimes if they got rebellion in their heart, they might do the opposite. They might. But that's on them. It won't be because you were a bad example. It won't be because you were a hypocrite. It won't be because you weren't a consistent mother that had a loving and tender spirit with your children, that was patient with them and patient with their father and patient. And by the way, moms, one of the best things you could do is lift up your husband to your children. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're encouraging your children to love their daddy and to obey him and follow him and lifting him up in their eyes. Because that's part of your ministry too, by the way. Part of your ministry is not to contradict what the father teaches or what he directs, but having a consistent example of obeying your own husband in front of them. Don't purposely disobey your husband and his direction. You're teaching it to your children if you do. By the way, if you don't think your children can't pick up on that, and let me tell you another thing. If you don't think God can't stir up in your home some of those issues, and your rebellion doesn't stir up problems with your children and problems with things like that, well, if you're not being obedient to the Lord, those things can be stirred up in your children. Because rebellion begets rebellion. It just does. That's how disobedience begets more disobedience. If I, as a father, teach my children wrong, if I don't lead right, if I don't invest my life and time in them, if I'm not loving and kind and affectionate and caring to them, guess what? They won't be either. It'll affect them. And if a mother is not encouraging their children to love their dad, right, to do things for their father, amen, that's part of your ministry. You encourage them to love their dad and to do things for their father and to hold him in high regard. And by the way, fathers, you're to teach your sons how to treat their mother. Right. And when they don't, you deal with it. Amen. I told my son very plainly, you watch how you talk to your mother and you watch how you treat my daughters, because they might be your sisters, but they're my daughters. Amen. And you don't treat them right and you're going to hear from me. And you don't treat your mother right and you're going to hear from me, because you're talking to my wife. She may be your mother, but she's my wife. And you won't disrespect my wife. Amen. And you teach them that. You teach him to respect. That's right. Amen. I don't know who said that, but that's right. Is that Lydia? Amen. No, that was Ezra. He's getting ready to preach. Did he say Charlie's dead? Is that what he said? He's really impacted by Charlie dying up there. What's that? Charlie broken? Yeah, I know. That's funny. Anyway, but you teach them how to treat their mother. By the way, you treat her with love and care yourself. You treat your wife with love and care. the best way to teach your son. I like what, I think it was, somebody made a comment that they were, this was somebody that was visiting, they made a comment about their, you know, their wife was out of line. This was years ago or whatever. Their wife was out of line. And man, that guy was like, man, sometimes I just wanted to kill her. It was so bad, you know, and he didn't really mean it like that. And I remember Luke said to him, said something to the effect of, well, my dad never talks that way about my mother. Amen. That's good. I'm glad he said that. I'm glad he said that. And that's good because he shouldn't. Amen. And none of us should. That's right. That's not appropriate, right? But you know what? That's good. That was a young man that said that. You know what I mean? Because he never heard anything like that before. He never heard anybody talk about his mom like that. His dad never said anything like that about his mom. Right? And you shouldn't either. Right? That should be something that appalls us, that we're like, what? Because we don't talk like that. That's right. You don't talk about each other like that. You don't put each other down in front of the children. You don't say things about each other like that. Don't do that. Amen.
Amen.
You deal with it separately. Talk it out. Right? That's what God wants. That's the way. You teach your children to love each other by loving each other. You're loving each other. Amen. That's what God wants. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. I know it's all practical, Lord, but it's your word and it's always good. These reminders we're all in need of, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for saving sinners. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your people. Thank you for those that even listen online that are blessed by our ministry. May we be a blessing to all of them. And Lord, we thank you. Help us, Lord, to be the godly fathers and the godly mothers that are needed. It's so important, the work that we have ahead of us, Lord. All of us. You've blessed us with all these children. And we must serve you and raise them to the glory of God. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.